Hi, I'm your jingle jangle dealer, Allison.
And I'm the coroner you can pay off to get results on a murder. Evan, you stole my intro.
And we are Cheryl's bitches. Wow, we're both jingle jangle dealers. That's so crazy.
Oh, I had to think on my feet real fast there.
You still had a good one. We are here to discuss Chapter 15, Nighthawks.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I guess, does any of this take place at night?
I feel like at least the end takes place at night, I guess.
Yeah, I guess the evening. The dinner evening? Time. Anyway.
Yeah.
And the night-night, yeah. And the night-night.
In the night night. So we open with Jughead narrating and basically explaining that Pops is struggling post the Fred shooting and someone spray painted Death Diner on the side of Pops.
Wrote that down. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't really get this. Okay, I get maybe people don't want to go to the diner. Okay, because the whole premise of this episode is like no one is going to Pops anymore, so it might close. Which, okay, maybe there was a shooting at a diner, you don't want to immediately go there, but why vandalize it? Like, it's not the physical Pops location's fault that someone shot Fred there.
Because the people of Riverdale just love to do some vandalism for no reason. Calling people serpent and sluts, spray painting Death Diner. It's less about, I think it's about, they're really into the symbolism of things, is my opinion.
Very true. So yeah, Jughead has this little voiceover, but then we see Archie cooking Fred breakfast. He wants him to like stay in bed and he's making him breakfast in bed, but Fred is up and Archie is like pounding an energy drink. And he keeps calling Sheriff Keller to try to get updates on his dad's case.
Yeah, but Sheriff Keller won't call him back. Also, roughly around the same time, Veronica is saying, TTFN, Smithers. She's a Veronica. And is trying to leave, and Smithers is like, go out the side door. And Veronica's like, wait, why? But before he can answer, Hiram walks in and is like, so you can avoid me.
Respectfully, Hiram looks so good here.
No, I wrote in my notes, sorry, but Hiram is daddy.
He literally is an objectively handsome man.
He's like, good for him. Ripped and glistening, like I don't know how to explain it.
He's sweating from his run. Yeah, anyway, they have like an altercation because Veronica's trying to avoid him and he's like, no, you should eat dinner with us.
Yeah. Then Jughead at the schoolyard tells the gang about Pop's struggles that he's uncovered. And Archie is like, I don't know, Jug, I don't think I can go to Pops anymore, like, after everything that happened. And Betty says she will not accept this, which is like, Betty, he has trauma.
I like, Jughead says, I can't take on any more social issues right now. Which I just feel like is a very applicable line to, like, living in America. But
he's kind of real. Veronica
agrees to help Betty, so they're gonna come up with a plan to save Pops.
Yep. And Archie and Jughead leave for the police station, which is where we're at now. And Archie talks to Sheriff Keller and is like, here's all of the work I've been doing. You should let me join the investigation. Like, if you have patrols out, let me go with them. And Sheriff Keller is like, no.
This was so insane because, like, how do you even think he would possibly say yes to this? Like, you're a a teenager. You're not trained. I don't understand. But it's, yeah, Argy's being dumb.
So dumb. Anyways, then FP and Jughead talk to FP's coin-appointed lawyer, who's like, listen, you got a plea deal. You should probably take it, like, it's a really good deal. Before we get into the deal, though, we should probably go through, once again, all of the charges against you, FP. Which is, like, tampering with evidence, arson, disposing of a body,
false confession.
Like, there's so many things.
It's like, you should take the deal, is the lawyer's advice.
The lawyer's like, there's so many things, and you did do them, so maybe take this deal.
He, like, won't, he's not, like, giving details, and so Jughead is like, how many damn years? And Cole Sprouse,
Cole Sprouse's acting is interesting this episode.
It was bad.
is fascinating, his acting choices in this episode. Then Archie hears a noise in his house, and Jughead is apparently trying to break in, but Archie doesn't know this, so then Archie, like, runs at him with a bat and almost clubs him. And Archie's like, what the heck, man? What's wrong with you? And Jughead says, what's wrong with you? You're the one who looks like a dream warrior from Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Okay, which, Jughead.
Such a topical reference.
He's here to talk about his dad's situation, and the deal is 20 years, and if he goes to trial, he could be facing 40 years, and Jughead is scared and admits to being scared. Yeah. And Archie is like, I'm scared too. But Archie's scared because he's hallucinating the black hood is, like, outside of his door. And it's, like, unclear if this is, like, I mean, it's not there, so it is, like, a hallucination. But I'm like, yeah, you're hallucinating because you haven't slept in days.
Yes. Like, you're functioning off of nothing but caffeine and trauma. Like, maybe
that's me most days. Have you ever had, like, lack of sleep induced hallucinations?
I don't think so.
I have definitely suffered from that. Nothing like as vivid, I mean, as hallucinating the black hood.
Okay, I feel like I've definitely had, like, auditory hallucinations from lack of sleep, mm-hmm. where it's, like, 3 a.m. in my house, and I just start hearing things, and I'm like, this is weird, and I don't like it.
That's just ghosts.
Yeah, but nothing like hallucinating a black hood trying to murder me.
Yeah, so Archie and Jughead are going through it. Betty is focused on less important things, because Betty, like, has an idea about Pops, but then she looks outside of her bedroom window and sees that Archie's bedroom is empty, aka Archie's not sleeping there, and it's nighttime, so she's like, what's up? And she decides to call Veronica, who shows up, like, morning, and Veronica shows up at his door and asks, like, who are you spending your nights with, Archie? You're not in your bedroom. Kind of jokingly, and Archie does reveal that he is scared that the Black Hood is gonna come back to finish Fred off. Archie is going through it. I'm not sure how rational he's being. Veronica's like, maybe you should, she doesn't even suggest therapy, because she's like, I'm not saying you should go to therapy, but maybe talk to the counselor. And Archie is, like, so indignant about the idea that he could ever need to, like, go to therapy. He's like, oh.
Yeah. Veronica was like, hey, I tried therapy and it worked for me. So, like, maybe you don't even maybe need to go all that way yet. Just talk to someone. And he's just like, okay. Anyway, so then Betty and Jughead meet with Mayor McCoy. Sounds like it's, like, an agreed upon schedule thing. They literally, like, stalk her and catch her in the halls of City Hall. and ask her to make Pops a landmark or declare like a Riverdale Pops Day or something to help save the diner. And she's like, no, as mayor and a mother, my priority is to keep the town safe. And clearly Pops is not that safe right now, which, okay. It's fine, whatever. And then Jughead responds and says, are you also all for shipping my dad off to state prison for a murder he didn't commit?
The mayor is like, what is this, like an ambush? Like, what? You just were talking about Pops and now you're blaming me for your dad going to prison? And she's like, your father was involved. And Jughead is so mad. He says, like, remember this day, the day you turned your back on Pop Tate and my father.
There's just so much to unpack in this scene.
Respectfully, because I do respect Pop Tate and FP, I don't think they're really, like, powerful enemies to have. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think a mayor is going to be threatened that, like, she doesn't have FP and Pop Tate on her side.
Like, they are objectively, like, if we're doing power rankings this episode of all of the characters, they are at the bottom.
Truly, because they're both trying to get help, or they need to get help for both of them from the mayor, which is a clear sign that they are not thriving.
Like, they are both at the bottom of the power rankings. Anyways, I also love the, like, he's like, you know, the state attorney, so came to drop the case. And it's like,
easy.
What? That's not how this works. She's the mayor of the town it happened in, but, like, it's a federal crime.
Don't you remember that FP said, I'm more innocent than guilty? He's innocent. We should free him.
Anyways, and Jughead, another point that really bothered me is Jughead saying that they're sending him off to state prison for a murder that he didn't commit. Like, no!
No!
You're not sending him to prison for that. That is the one thing he's not charged with.
Literally had like 10 crimes and that was not one of them. There are other crimes other than just murder.
Anyways, I was like, oh my god. Anyways,
The mayor's not gonna help either.
Mayor McCoy has no incentive to help either of them, and after this conversation I think it's even lower on her priority list.
Probably. We get this quick scene of Midge, which, like, I guess is a character in the show.
She was mentioned once in season one.
She's asking Reggie about Jingle Jangle and if he has any. Reggie is apparently a drug dealer now, so he's like, yeah, I can set you up. They're talking outside of the guidance office and he sees, like, Archie not even walking in, like, just standing outside of the guidance office. And Reggie says, what's on your mind, Andrews? Girl troubles? Scabies? What?
You know, aren't you always concerned about getting scabies?
All the time. yeah. And Archie wants to stay awake, so he asks Reggie, do you have anything that will keep me awake? Which, okay, like, Reggie's now an established drug dealer. We were all supposed to know this already, I guess.
Everyone in town apparently knows.
And Jingle Jangle, for the record, keeps you up and keeps you up. According to Reggie, I'm like, okay.
Okay. I also just want everyone to know that this scene came as possibly the worst line ever uttered in Riverdale, which is saying a lot. In that they're talking outside of the guidance counselor office and he's like kind of joking around, like, ha ha ha, why would you need therapy? And Archie's like, nah bruh, I don't, I was just like standing there. And Reggie says, maybe you do, you look like my nuts after football practice.
Gross.
Which is disturbing.
Okay, Reggie.
Whoever wrote that line Archie's deserves to be in prison.
What?
I said whoever wrote that line deserves to be in prison.
Yeah, so Archie's going to do drugs to stay awake to protect his dad. That sounds like a great idea.
Mm-hmm. So then we get Betty talking to Kevin and Veronica and informing them that they can't let the terrorists win. So they need to save Pops, and she suggests throwing a like retro night.
Bush after 9/11.
Another plane has hit the diner. We're getting canceled for that.
Okay, sorry, respectfully, they're like, why can't you let this go? And Betty talks about all these memories, like all of the memories she has associated with Pops, and yeah, they can't let it go, so they're gonna host an event at Pops. Nice.
Yeah. Veronica does make a random reference to a New York City place, which is always fun. And this conversation is interrupted, though, by Hiram appearing with flowers, to which Veronica goes, Daddy, and Betty and Kevin go, Daddy!
God, I can't, this is like the origin of Daddy, because before, Veronica only said it to her own family members, and now, they finally met. Daddy. So they go outside to talk, and Veronica's like, I can't let this go, because basically Hiram's like, can't we just go back to how it was before? And Veronica says that her blindfold is off and she can no longer just like pretend she doesn't know what her dad does. But we don't even know, which like a flashback. This is my question at the beginning of the episode. Didn't we ever find out like what her Hiram's crimes supposedly were?
No, it's just implied to be like white collar, like financial scheming.
Right? And then at the beginning of the episode, they reiterate that people said he was the devil incarnate. Or I guess she says this later. She defended him even when people were calling him the devil incarnate. Which, I'm sorry, who's calling him that for, like, tax fraud? Like, who? What American cares about tax crimes, white-collar crimes, that much? I don't understand.
The only people would be, like, if he did, like, Bernie Madoff-level crimes.
Yeah.
Which, if he's not in prison, he didn't.
So anyway, blindfold's off, so whatever. They need to repair the relationship.
I will say Veronica's outfit in this scene, and I think every scene, most of these scenes at least going forward, slayed so hard. She's wearing like a navy blue dress, and it has like gold big buttons on the pockets. It's a like polo-esque collar with green trim. And then a like pearl necklace with a long dangly pearl on it.
That is a slay.
Oh, and a capricious bag.
Shut up. So then Jughead is talking to Tallboy and another serpent and about his father's situation. And he says, quote, it feels like the whole system is rigged against us. I'm like, so true, Jughead. Jughead is trying to take down the prison industrial complex via, he wants to break FP out of like the, because FP's still in the sheriff's office before he gets like actually transferred to prison, and Jughead wants to break him out.
Which, I'm gonna be honest, I'm not certain the writers of Riverdale understand how the American criminal justice system works. Even to like the most basic law and order level.
Why? Because he says, well, they just need to get to Canada and then he's free.
Yes. And also him still being at like the sheriff jail and not like an actual prison.
Okay, because he would go also, to jail, because that's what jail is. It's before you go to prison, you go to jail while you're like awaiting trial. So he should be in like an actual jail, not just the sheriff's office.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he shouldn't just be in like the holding cell that apparently he's been living in for months now.
Yeah, deadass, like what if someone is like publicly intoxicated and they need to take them to the holding cell? Is he just like rooming? They're rooming with FP right now?
I guess so. Like this makes no sense. Yeah. And we'll get into more later about how the writers truly do not understand the American criminal justice system.
Yeah. Basically, they're like, no, we're not going to break him out of prison, but you should go see Penny Peabody.
Yeah. Before that, though, Betty and Veronica go to River Vixen practice, and Cheryl calls them Humpty and Dumpty, which was funny. And Josie has joined on the River Vixens and is excited to practice her moves and be a good team player as long as she's in front, which this is going to be important later, but I'm going to be honest, Josie's being kind of flirty here.
Right? Okay. I'm going to be honest. Okay, we have to get that at a later episode. I'll tell that antidote. Never mind. Keep going.
Anyways, that's just something to keep in mind and remember. And then Veronica says, wait, Cheryl, does this mean you're taking the River Vixens back from me? And Cheryl says, but really, Veronica, were they ever really yours?
Slay. They ask if the cheer team, the River Vixens, will perform at Pops, which I'm like, what are they performing? I don't know. But they want them to be waitresses at Pops, basically. And Cheryl's like, no.
Yeah.
Then they're all in class and Principal Weatherby comes in and he has to make an announcement. And he announces that Miss Grundy was murdered. And he's like, some of you probably knew her. And then Archie runs out of the room.
This scene is so dramatic. Also, he's never like, if you need grief counseling or anything, he just seems to be informing them for information's sake. Like,
he's dead ass like, some of you probably knew her. She's dead.
She's dead. Just so you know, she died. She was murdered. Then Archie is talking to Fred and confides in him that he's afraid that people are that's the guy who shot Fred is coming after the people that Archie loves. And Fred tries to be like, no, like I was shot. She was strangled. It's like two towns away. Like I doubt this is connected. And like, so he tries to comfort and calm Archie, but it doesn't work.
Then we have Jughead at a tattoo shop / law office of Penny Peabody, who is a serpent, and she says that the serpents put her through college and law school, and Jughead's like, because the serpents are often on the wrong side of the law, it's helpful to have a lawyer, and she's like, oh, you're so smart, which I'm like, okay, Jughead, you're fucking clever. You're a genius. I'm sorry. This is so unrealistic that I'm like, they could have come up with anything else. Anyway, she knows FP and knows about the situation because of inside sources. Okay.
Also, it's just like, you know, the town's news. Like everyone in this town knows about FP's situation at this point.
You know, about the details of the deal somehow.
Okay, that's true.
Because she says the deal is garbage and that if they can get the family of the victim to forgive him, they would show leniency and he could just get time served. Which pause.
This is the moment that I was like, I don't think that these writers have ever seen like any sort of like crime drama procedural thing, because this is not even in like our most like flattering interpretation and depictions of the American justice system, this would never happen.
Yeah, no, there are situations, there have been situations where like the family tries to plead against a like perpetrator who's getting the death penalty and saying they shouldn't be killed, and then they still are executed. So I don't think that if a family member said it's okay that he dumped the body, he's going to get time served, which is like 2 months max.
Yeah, it's not that long. And like, it's pretty, like, this is like why the victims' rights movement is complicated and not great 101 of like, it's used to enforce harsher punishments on people, but not used to benefit anyone.
Very true. So Jughead, like, oh, thank you so much. Like, we can, he's gonna go talk to Cheryl basically. And he's like, do I pay you? And she's like, no, you just, you know, I do a favor for you today, you do a favor for me tomorrow. Dot dot dot.
And then Archie is talking to Alice because he's still stressed, because he's afraid that Grundy and Fred's, like, Grundy's murder and Fred's shooting might be connected. And Alice says, my, we've come a long way since dances at the gym and varsity football tryouts, haven't we? And so Betty and Archie want Alice to get the details on Grundy's autopsy because they know she has means and ways. Alice is like, fine. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, and she comes in with an interesting story that Pops is actually, that Betty doesn't need to say Pops anymore because Pop is selling the shop to an anonymous buyer, and they're like, we know what that means.
She does say, spreading ourselves a little thin as the patron saint of lost causes, aren't we, Betty?
God damn.
And we all know, thanks to Florence and the Machine, that the patron saint of lost causes is Saint Jude. Sorry, I've been educated by Florence Welch.
So then Betty is talking to Veronica, or Betty tells Veronica that they think Hiram is buying the diner. And Hiram says that he's not. And Veronica is just looking for a fight. She thought that would get her a fight, but Hiram like is very much denies it. So then she says, okay, then let's talk about Mr. Andrews. And she accuses him of shooting Fred or having him shot. yeah. And Hermione's like, you first accuse me, now you accuse your father. There's no evidence. Yeah, it's kind of a mess.
Yeah, she's like, girl, you're flailing. They're both like, no, we didn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah, she talks about how she was his fiercest protector until she got the threatening letter that said, like, I don't know, your mom could get implicated if you don't, like, testify on my behalf. And Hermione says that she wrote the letter to get Veronica to testify at that time to help Hiram, and Veronica is very pissed off about this.
Yeah, she says that they deserve each other and storms out of the room, which, gonna be honest, they do deserve each other. That becomes more clear as the show goes on.
Then Betty and Jughead go over to wherever Penelope and Cheryl are living right now. I don't know.
Thistle House.
Oh, Thistle House, of course. And Cheryl opens the door and says, Hobo, Bride of Hobo. And Betty thanks them for having them, or like talking them and having them over for dinner. And Cheryl says, of course, your family. And then Jughead asks for mercy on behalf of FP and asks if either of them will ask for forgiveness and or will forgive. And Cheryl says absolutely not. And she's very pissed off that he even asked.
Which is so valid. Like,
I don't know why Jughead thought that this would work.
Okay, I'm like more forgiving of Jughead in this instance because he's like, I'm trying to do anything to keep my dad from going to prison. But Betty is upset at this. Girl, get a grip.
Yeah. So yeah, that didn't work. Mrs. Blossom's like, hell no. Cheryl's like, hell no. It's not looking too good. Then we see we're at Dr. Curdle's office and we see Alice once again trying to get the inside scoop on an autopsy, this time of Miss Grundy. And Dr. Curdle says that it was a crime of passion because she was strangled with the bow. And it was a crime of passion and hatred.
Yep. Crazy. And then Archie sees a black hooded figure trying to like sneak into his house. So then he goes and attacks him with a bat, but it turns out that it's Reggie delivering his drugs. So oopsies. Reggie says it was a prank.
Like, fuck off, Reggie. Like that's
people are so unhinged.
And Reggie's like, okay, but you're bringing a baseball bat to a gunfight. If you really are gonna attack like the real Black Hood, he has a gun, and that inspires probably not a great idea in Archie.
Yeah, but before we see whatever that idea is, Alice is telling Archie and Fred what she learned from Dr. Curdle. And that Mrs. Grundy's murder is not likely related to Fred getting shot because it's like a different murder weapon. It's a crime of passion. She knew her killer probably, like it's just very different. And then Archie implies that he still thinks they might be connected.
Because she was strangled with the bow that Archie gave her. Uh-huh. So then they go to Pops and ask who the buyer is, and he says it's Chugmo, which I guess is a chain liquor store in this universe, is going to buy Pop.
I'm kind of obsessed with the chain liquor store named Chugmo.
Chugmo, so true, Chugmo.
Chugmo.
And Jughead asked if Pop will make FP his last meal, which I'm like, that is not what a last meal is. It's not a last meal before you go to prison. It's a last meal before they off you. But he calls it a last meal. And Betty's like, no, don't sign the papers yet, Pop. I'm not giving up.
Yeah. And then Cheryl is fixing her makeup in the locker room and Betty storms in and is like, listen, if you don't testify on behalf of FP, I will release the video of your father murdering your brother.
This scene, I'm sorry, there are so many aspects of the scene that need to be analyzed. Cheryl is in her underwear in the locker room. Betty storms in
for some reason.
And yes, indeed, says that she's going to release a snuff film if she doesn't testify on behalf. It is so gay. They like lean in super close, or like Betty's trying to be threatening, so she like leans in super close and Cheryl's like, are you threatening me? And she's like, no, this is just fun girl talk. Okay, we should not be watching this then. Jesus Christ.
Betty is so unhinged in this scene. Like, call the psych ward, please.
It's always Betty. It's always call the psych ward. But she says that she will delete all the copies of the video. If Cheryl agrees to testify and Betty gets the vixens to help at Pop's night.
Yeah, and by the end of the scene, Cheryl doesn't really seem upset. She's more like impressed with Betty, which is just an even weirder dimension to add.
Yeah, this insane scene. Go watch that scene if you have not seen this episode in a long time.
If you've never, like, if you've never seen Riverdale, you don't just watch that scene. It's the only one you truly need to see at this point.
But yeah. So then Jughead walks in to the Blue and Gold office, and Veronica's there for some reason. And he says, "Sorry, I don't have red hair and broad shoulders, or a blonde ponytail for that matter." Because I guess it's like the first time we ever seen Jughead and Veronica talk. And I'm like, okay, let's that quote. It's interesting.
I don't know if it's the first time, but they definitely interact very little on their own.
But he's literally saying, you would fuck Archie, you would fuck Betty, but you gotta fuck with me right now.
That's very true. The Vughead shippers getting their first go-around at this moment.
Oh, God. Are they real?
I don't think so, and
please
I really
hope
it's not.
Let us know if you've ever known anyone that has actually shipped Bughead, because that's disgusting.
I mean, if you've done it in the past, we've all made mistakes.
No.
And I guess you're not valid.
You're not valid. Anyway, Jughead is, or Veronica asks about how Jughead and FP are going, like the situation, and she's like, if you ever need to talk, basically they're bonding over the fact that their dads have both been in jail. So, you know, friendship.
Yeah. So then Archie has a meeting with Sheriff Keller, and he explains that he thinks that Fred's shooter and Grundy's murder were done by the same person. And it was, he thinks he knows who that is. And Sheriff Keller is like, that's a bold statement. And so then Archie's like, I think it was her ex-husband. And he's like, why? And he then has to disclose that him and Grundy had a illicit affair last year.
Is that good?
It was beautiful.
Oh my God. Sorry. Pause on.
Are we going to talk about the toe breakup?
Yes. This is intermission. What WTF, man?
It was insane. And then, okay, so toe breakup and then Succession episode 3, back to back, insane.
So I took a substance and then was watching Bodies.
Oh yeah, such a good movie.
I finally checked my phone and it was like 18 minutes ago. I like got Twitter notifications about that they broke up, and I was like, I'm 18, like what's happening right now? It was a very stressful moment. I think it's hilarious that so many Swifties were like, I don't believe it. I don't believe it until Taylor Swift tells me personally that it happened.
Yeah, no, they were all like, I won't believe it until Taylor or Tree Pain sends me a DM. I was like, no.
Okay. It wasn't until like CNN confirmed it that people had to be like, okay, this is probably real.
ET and people, like, they don't usually go around throwing around accusations, or at least ET. I actually don't know as much about people. But, like, ET is usually like fairly reliable. They don't like tend to report.
And it was Tree Pain. Like, Tree Pain would have told them. That's why they had the exclusive. That's what an exclusive is.
It was like the source. Tree Pain was the source. Like,
that's how publicists work. Anyway, back
to Riverdale.
Back to your regularly scheduled program. Sheriff Keller says that it is not the abusive ex, because they already asked about that, and he has an airtight alibi. And
which
so Archie's
kind
like,
of messed up of Sheriff Keller to just like let him go with this theory for a while to get more information before being like, yeah, we already talked to him and it's not him. Fun though.
You just wanted the tea, you know? I don't blame him.
I mean, I don't blame him. It's just, you know.
So then we're at, I don't know, the arraignment. I don't know. They're trying to decide what the fuck's happening with FB in a courtroom. I don't know.
Sentencing hearing?
This is sentencing because they haven't had the trial.
But they're like, I'm confused.
I don't know. Anyway, Cheryl's testifying. That's all you need to know. Cheryl's testifying. She says all the shit that Junkhead wanted her to. And even after that, the judge is kind of like, well, that's not, unless there's extenuating circumstances, then that's not enough. And so she lies on the stand and claims that she overheard Clifford threatening FP that he would kill Jughead if FP didn't, like, do the false confession.
Which, this brings up so many questions. It's like, if you overheard this, why did you not say anything, Cheryl? Like, if you overheard this and understood this to be the case, you would have to know that Clifford murdered Jason. In which case, why did you not tell anyone?
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it makes no sense. Because was it a phone call? Like, I don't even understand the circumstance. Was FB at their house, allegedly? Like, I know it's not true, but I can't even, like, picture the fake scenario that she's talking about.
Anyways, this prompts zero follow-up from anyone involved, except the judge going, well, guess there's extenuating circumstances now. Let's take a recess.
Yeah, so they're going to reevaluate the charges now.
Fun. Anyways, so now it's retro night at Pops, and it seems to be a flop. But Alice arrives and says that she's here to write her next story over one last root beer float.
She's calling it Requiem for Pops.
Alice is continuing to be an icon this entire episode. I'm sorry. She slays. Anyway, so then more people are finally showing up at Pops. But Josie storms in and is mad because Betty posted all over social media that the Pussycats are doing a free concert tonight at Pops. And Betty was like, she was like, why would you do this? And Betty was like, well, because if I asked, you wouldn't have done it.
Betty Cooper, you will always be famous. I love this. I'm like, so true. And it worked. It worked. Smart, and it worked.
Also, I'm sorry. This is an Alice move. Like, that was pure Alice.
So true. So the Vixens are all serving. And Josie's like, well, I guess we can't even perform because Val is sick. And Cheryl's like, I don't mind stepping in immediately. Which, like, who invited you? I thought only the people of color were pussycats. I don't understand what's happening, but
Josie is not here for the idea at first. She's like, no.
But she, like, immediately agrees to it.
Yeah, she does then immediately agree to it when Cheryl's like, well, as long as it's a cover, I know the words. Which it's like, Cheryl, do you know every song?
Well, but, she knows this song.
She knows this one because they decided to do a, like, 50s doo-wop version of Milkshake.
Literally iconic. This was all over Twitter, like, when it first aired.
No, this is so iconic.
It's kind of creepy, their rendition of it. Like, it's too slowed down that it makes it, like, eerie.
Yeah, it's very creepy. It's like one of those things where, like, it feels like it would be used in the trailer of a horror movie because it's, like, too aggressively happy while being, like, nice, underlyingly kind of creepy.
A friend. It's nice to have a friend.
Exactly. It is the It's Nice to Have a Friend in the Megan trailer.
Archie shows up at Pop's Retro Night and has drama. Basically, he keeps having flashbacks, but he's still there. And I'm like, Archie, just go home. Baby, you don't have to be here.
you don't have to be here, sweetie. People will understand. Maybe not Betty, because she has issues, but other people will understand. But then Veronica's there to comfort him. Who else shows up but Hiram and Hermione, who go and talk to Veronica for like half a second and then are like, yeah, and we're going to donate to Pops.
Yeah, because whatever.
So they're in their philanthropy era, apparently.
And Veronica says that this could be a new beginning for Pops and for them, because after her chat with Jughead, she now wants to not hate her dad, I guess.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Veronica.
Sure. And then who else shows up? Some Southside Serpents show up, and Alice is like taking everything that happens in the next scene. Alice is just like snapping pictures like an old person on the phone, you know?
And it's not subtle. She has the camera like click sound on, the shutter sound on her iPhone on, so everyone can hear that she's just holding up her phone and aggressively taking pictures of everything that's happening.
She takes pictures of the serpents. Then we get a quick little chat where Cheryl says that she lied under oath, so like she should be in the clear. And Betty gives her the USB drive that has like the video, presumably. So they follow through on that deal. And then speaking of deals, there's a drug deal going on in one of the cars outside, and Alice is again taking pictures of it.
Yep. Anyways, then Pop Tate stops the commotion to make an announcement, and he thanks Betty for doing all this to save Pops, and is like, and we don't have to sell anymore, and we're very excited because we're gonna get to stay open. Also, thank you to the lodges for giving us a donation so that if we run into any bumps in the future, we have some money to help us out with that. But then we cut to the lodges having their own private conversation, and a lot is revealed in this conversation. So Hiram reveals that he didn't just donate to Pops, he bought Pops, but let Pop Tate stay on as manager to buy his silence. And then he also thanks Hermione for saying that she wrote the letter, because Veronica would never forgive him for that. And Hermione's like, yeah, you're welcome, it needed to be done. And he says, your loyalty, he like thanks her for her loyalty yet again. And they really truly are made for each other, and I believe that.
They are, because the absolute loyalty that she has to immediately, because when you think about like the scene before that prompts this, Veronica, like, she didn't tell Hermione about the letter that threatened her, obviously. So she's finding out in real time that her own husband literally threatened to send her to prison, and she immediately is like, oh, I actually wrote it. So like, she's smart, but also like, girl, free yourself.
Seek help, but also good for you. So a lot unpacked there. And then we also get the gang hanging out in the booth, and they're like, Archie, are you okay? And he's like, well, I'm here with you, so I'll be okay.
What, I literally did not remember how this episode ended, because we see like Dilton Doily outside the window, and Archie's like making intense eye contact, and like Dilton's always trying to like make eye contact with Archie, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? I did not understand where this was going.
They're gonna go hook up because they're gays.
Well, that's what I thought, and I'm like, that's definitely not true.
No, it's not. Okay. I never thought that. I knew exactly what was about to happen, because Dilton and Archie are both incredibly straight. Archie also was like, oh, hey, Veronica, there's your dad. Should I go introduce myself to him? And B says, no, you've been through enough.
Veronica giving a realness. Cheryl. After Pop's night, Cheryl arrives home, and you gotta explain this to me. She shows the video of the murder to her mom.
Mm-hmm. As a present.
Yeah. So, like, is this like closure? Like, I don't understand.
I think it's supposed to be like a closure thing where Penelope, like, is having difficulty admitting it. I don't know. Either way, like, even if you're having difficulty, like, admitting it and wrapping your mind around it, I feel like watching a video of it happening is only going to make it worse. But
yeah,
I don't know. Not an experience I've been through, so I can't speak to that.
Your dad has never murdered your brother?
No, can't say he has. And then the lodges get home, and who's there to greet them? Not Smithers, a new hot man, who's their doorman. And he explains that Smithers left because his mother got sick and he went to go take care of her.
Which is
very suspicious. Because Smithers, he doesn't look like his mother is still around.
No. She really does need someone to take care of her because she'd be pretty old. Then we see FP calling Jughead. I guess he like has phone calls. I don't know. He's calling Jughead still, like, in the little cell at the sheriff's house, the sheriff's station. And he calls Jughead and is like, "You talk to Penny Peabody. Don't you ever talk to her ever again. Like, if she calls, don't answer." And he seems very scared about this. So, and Jughead's like, "Why?" And then FP immediately hangs up. It's a mystery.
Who knows? Because why would FP tell him? That'd just be easy and not cause any problems down the line.
Yeah.
Anyways, so then Alice is talking to Betty at Pops after the event, and she says, "You do know that this is a long one. Just strap in. It's going to take a while." "You do know that several drug deals went down here tonight. And if you think that Hiram Lodge, Riverdale's answer to Scarface, helped Pop Tate for altruistic reasons, I have a bridge to sell you. The Serpents have now officially crossed the tracks and have a toehold in the North Side. So congratulations, Betty. You are almost single-handedly responsible for giving crime a haven in Riverdale." She says this to her own daughter after she, like, tries to save a Black-owned business.
Okay, I get the drug deal, not great. That's, she did witness a drug deal, that's not great. The Serpents going to a diner is not a crime.
Also, like, FP and Jughead have clearly been going there a lot. So there's nothing to indicate that the Serpents were never going to Pops to begin with. And, like, this doesn't seem to be a new occurrence.
We do some history rewriting here of, like, how divided the South and North Side were. Because, yeah, like, that only intensifies throughout the season. So I think we just got to get used to a lot more South versus North tensions.
True. Very, very true. Also, I'm going to be honest. Like, yeah, the drug deal, not great. Not great happening. It was also clearly happening between two high school students. Like, it's not like it's some drug gang that's infiltrating the town.
No, Reggie is
two rich white people. I guess Reggie's not white. Two rich people.
Yeah. Then Jughead does his voiceover for the end, and Archie's having a, quote, secret rendezvous with Dilton. I said gay question mark, but not gay, because Archie is buying a gun from Dilton.
I mean, guns are kind of phallic.
Yeah.
So, I gay feel subtext?
Like,
I don't think so, but no. I guess you could argue.
But on a, like, more real note, what, again, like, his dad thinks that he's going crazy, but, like, if you were really this concerned, could you not just ask your dad to, like, go legally buy a firearm? Like, I don't necessarily support that, but I definitely don't support buying a gun on the black market.
Yeah. I think he probably knew that Fred very rightfully would have been like, no. Also, given the mental state you're in right now, extra no. We're not having a gun in this house. But yeah. Apparently, it helped him sleep, though, according to Jughead, because the first night he slept in weeks, which is a record, as far as I'm aware. Then Midge and Moose are doing Jingle Jangle and then making out in a car. And Season of the Witch starts playing, which very ominous because who's going to show up? But the Black Hood, who shoots them in their car. This is all very Zodiac killer coded, which is fun to me.
Yes, definitely. So he fires 3 gunshots, but we don't know like who he hits and if they're dead or not. So not looking too good.
No information given. Tragic.
And that's the end of the episode.
It is. It was an odd episode.
It was.
It was weird because it was very tame for Riverdale overall. Like, it feels like nothing was like outrageously crazy, but also everyone was unhinged like most of the episode.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Very much. They had to get some things going this episode.
Yeah.
A lot of random shit was just happening at the same time.
There was just a lot of things happening that didn't connect at all constantly. There wasn't just like an A plot, a B plot, and a C plot. There was also like a D plot and an F plot and a G plot, like,
and a Midge and Reggie plot for some reason. Scabies.
Scabies.
I guess my outfit of the episode, because it's the only thing I wrote down, was Cheryl's lingerie set that she was wearing to public school for some reason. Has it ever happened to anyone in the history of humanity to wear a matching bra and underwear set just to go to school?
Yeah. Mine was definitely Veronica's look. It was iconic. It would have slayed with the Upper East Side Housewives. Not actually Housewives, New York business women, I guess it probably would have slayed with the most. It was like Jerry from Succession would wear this outfit. And that, like, I love that. That's the slay.
She did slay last episode, her outfit.
She really did. Okay, she went from the bottom to the very top in one episode, mainly due to circumstances outside of her control, but still.
Nope, God was on her side.
Did you see the tweet that was like, Roman threatened Jerry once and karma came at him immediately?
Yes.
It was so funny.
Karma is a cat purring in my lap.
Is it love?
Karma is the guy Jerry on the screen, not coming home straight. Oh, can we focus? Okay, Riverdale.
No, we can't.
Quote of the episode, mine, easy peasy, it's we can't let the terrorists win.
It was so funny.
Was that yours?
It was gonna be mine.
Yeah, it was okay.
No. I wrote down so many quotes on this episode. I'm gonna go with an Alice one, but I don't want to re-say the really long one. So I'm gonna go with, my, we've come a long way since dances at the gym and varsity football tryouts, haven't we?
I like that one because it's like, okay, but in season one, you were already dealing with murders. Like,
in season one, those ended like after the first episode. Like, that was we were beyond that after episode one. But it was a very great Alice-ism. And Alice, I think I've come to realize I'm an Alice stan deep down inside.
We all realized that already because you're always defending her. Oh, we still have to do Kinsey scale. Okay, who should we do? We should do Dilton.
Okay, I guess. Sure, okay.
I don't know how many episodes he's realistically in. And so it seems like a good time. Oh god.
That's true. He's actually in this one.
Oh.
Oh, I have
my answer. I'm a little unsure about this. Okay, so we're doing Kinsey scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale. Rating 0 to 6. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh!
Ooh, some disagreement.
So I said 2 and Evan said 0. I will just say, I think the actor that plays him is probably gay. That's where I feel like the gay energy is coming from. I don't know anything about the actor. Apologies if not. Your vibes are just off, sir. Yeah, I just kind of get a weird vibe. He's like, now you may think his like obsession with guns is straight, but he uses that to like explore the wilderness, not like be a male right activist. So like I kind of feel like, I don't know, it has a different meaning. It's giving too.
Okay. So valid, he is a twink. But also he's aggressively heterosexual, in my opinion. He does have a weird obsession with guns. He's also like implied in like season one to be like kind of a like right QAnon trutherism adjacent person, which heterosexual, sorry, that's a heterosexual thing to do. He doesn't have a personality, and I'm sorry, that's just so straight of you.
He does have a personality. It's being a Boy Scout leader.
That's not a personality. That is an excuse to be weird.
Okay, I do not feel strongly about that one, so.
Me neither. I don't feel that strongly either.
All right, folks. That's all, folks.
You can reach out to us, let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at cherylsbwords@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches, or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches as well. So that is cherylsbwords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.